News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Sometimes I get so confused in here, it sounds like I'm broadcasting on Laughing Gas, but I'm not. I'm just learning my way at FM Talk 106.5 at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. And Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig, and turning up your voice, 343-0106. I think this is huge right here. The drug maker... How's your Pfizer stock doing?
Well, I bought a lot of them back when Viagra was invented and brought to the table. But apparently they're good at making vaccines, too.
Viagra is old news now. Pfizer announced on Monday, they just announced that an early analysis of its coronavirus vaccine trial suggested the vaccine was robustly effective in preventing COVID-19. Promising development as the world has waited anxiously for any positive news about this pandemic, obviously. Pfizer, which developed the vaccine with a German drug maker, released only sparse details from its clinical trial based on the first formal review of the data by an outside panel of experts. The company said that the analysis found that the vaccine, it's a two-shot vaccine.
Okay.
One and then one in 21 days after the first. More than 90% was effective in preventing the disease among trial volunteers who had no evidence of prior coronavirus infection. And if the results hold up, that level of protection would put it on par with highly effective childhood vaccines for diseases such as measles. So that means that, I hesitate to say this, but is this news the beginning of the end of COVID-19? I mean, look, I'm first in line. I've told you that from the beginning. I'm first in line. I got nothing to lose. Roll it. Let me live my life.
You should have been in one of the trials.
I should have been in one of the trials. But I think medical people, a lot of medical people were in the trials too, because they kind of thought it was, in a sense of duty to do it like that and be part of the trial. But I do believe that the first people to get it will be the medical professionals, and how it trickles on down. Maybe in my age, I'm going to play every angle I got.
Yeah, and
I'm going for it.
According to Pfizer, they said with this news, they could possibly go into distribution of the vaccine this month or next. But did I hear you say correctly? Did Pfizer wait until after the election to announce the results of this?
I don't have that confirmed. But I'll have to check on that.
That's interesting. If that's
I got a text about that. And the text said that Pfizer held off on making this announcement until after the election to not sway the election.
Because in the last debate, I believe it was the last debate, when President Trump said here in about 3 or 4 weeks that there would be a major announcement coming with vaccine development. And if that's the case, again, not confirmed yet, but if Pfizer waited until after because they didn't want to sway the election one way or the other, that seems like that could possibly be problematic. I don't know, just for them to hold off like that.
One more log to throw on the this ain't right fire, sure.
Speaking of the this ain't right fire, a lot of Republicans and members of the Trump team saying that this election comes down to basically voter fraud, and the Trump campaign today filing a number of lawsuits in these battleground states. Now, where we stand over the weekend on Saturday, the Associated Press and CNN and I think even Fox News on Saturday called the race for what they're calling President-elect Joe Biden. That came in after they felt that Pennsylvania was enough to call for Joe Biden to go over the top there in the Keystone State. And Biden right now in Pennsylvania with 49.8% of the vote to Trump's 49.1%. That's with 99% reporting. And you look at the vote count numbers, he leads by fewer than 50,000 votes. Now, that the Pennsylvania will certainly be taken to court. It seems like the number one state that the Republicans are fighting right here with its 20 electoral votes. But you add Pennsylvania and Nevada, like the AP and CNN did for Biden over the weekend, and that puts him up at 290 electoral votes.
They have not added Georgia yet. Georgia's still considered to be up in the air.
Three states that have not been called by the Associated Press.
The lazy Alaska.
Lazy Alaska. We need to send someone up to Alaska to check on them, because on Friday they had reported 50% of the vote, and this morning they've reported 50% of the vote. So apparently no votes counted in Alaska over the weekend.
But 2 hours of sunlight up there, I think, is the problem.
Trump is expected to win Alaska. Right now he nearly has doubled Biden's vote there. That's three electoral votes. So that would put Trump up to 217. But the other two states yet to be called, Georgia and North Carolina. Now, in North Carolina, President Trump leads by about 1.5 percentage points, 50.1% to Biden's 48.7%. And right around 80,000 votes Trump leads by in North Carolina with 99% reporting. That's 15 electoral votes from North Carolina. In Georgia, their results are also being contested by the president. Georgia's yet to be called, but Joe Biden leads right now by 10,000 votes. The entire state of Georgia, he leads by 10,000 votes.
10 million people.
With 99% reporting. That puts him at 40, that puts Biden at 49.5% to Trump's 49.3%. So the Trump campaign has filed, and this week will begin to fight these cases in a number of battleground states. You have Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, and Georgia, and the Trump campaign also calling for a recount in Wisconsin. So when you look at the states where a recount is certainly possible, it starts with Georgia, where I mentioned Biden leads by 10,000 mm-hmm. votes right now.
Yeah.
Also in Wisconsin, Biden leads by less than one percentage point. He leads 49.6% to Trump's 48.9%. That's right around 20,000 votes. So two of these states, two of these battleground states, a total of 30,000 votes separate Trump and Biden right now. And if you're in the Trump campaign, you have to certainly think that with some of these allegations of voter fraud, that that could possibly be enough to swing the results in Wisconsin and Georgia, which totally would bring Trump up. That would be 26 electoral votes that would go into Trump's favor. So, and if they called North Carolina as well, and you know, a lot of this has to fall in place for the Trump camp, and they'd have to win these battles in court. But you could certainly see a pathway for him, and that's what a number of Republicans are saying right now. Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, also McCarthy, the House Minority Leader.
They're busy on the Sunday talk shows.
Yeah, a number of high-ranking Republicans who agree with Trump and his campaign in not conceding the election yet. Now, on Saturday, pretty much as soon as the Associated Press called it and Fox News, you knew that Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris would take to the stage as soon as possible, because the more that you talk about, you know, the transition into a President Biden and what he's going to do about the vaccine, and they get up there and make their victory speeches, it makes the road that much harder.
It becomes a real thing, right?
The
optics of it is, okay, this guy's going to be the president. Of course, on the text line, a lot of you are disagreeing with that, and I get that. And let's get some of this, let's get some evidence and sort it out and look at it. What was done in Pennsylvania seems to be, if it wasn't illegal, and I'm talking about what the governor and the secretary of the Commonwealth did, maybe it wasn't illegal, but it certainly did provide a smoother pathway for Biden. It was soon to be unethical.
Yeah, so shoot us text, give us a call, 343-0106. Do you see a pathway for Trump into overturning the Associated Press's call for President-elect Joe Biden? Do you see a pathway for that, or is Biden the president now? We'd love to hear from you, 343-0106.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, at his Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
821 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, coming to the phones here in just a minute. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK just do awesome work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And if you're unsure exactly what they do at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, well, they take care of your junk for you. If you have a bunch of junk and don't know where to take it, or if you can't physically move it, way too heavy for you, or you know, some of that stuff you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or dispose of it a different way, all you have to do is call the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK and they have you covered. One of the best things about using Trey and the crew is you make your appointment and they show up on time. They aren't like some of these companies that give you a 4, 6, or 8 hour window and then they may or may not show up even though you've taken the day off from work. It's not what they do at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You call them or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up your appointment, and they'll be there exactly when you're expecting them. Also, the price you get quoted is the price that you'll pay, something that not many businesses adhere to. They'll give you the quote, and they don't add anything to it over the top after they get done removing that junk for you. So everyone I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK has nothing but glowing reviews, and that includes just about everyone here at FM Talk 106.5. So once again, to get a quote and set up your appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I didn't know that we'd have any news that was going to be bigger than the contested election this morning.
No.
Pfizer has kind of, I don't know, they've jumped into the lead of the big news story. I guess because this coronavirus has gone on for so long, any glimmer of, wow, this could be the end of that, that's just big news.
Yeah, and I'm already seeing it, and it makes sense. You know, there's the theory that was floated out there that as soon as Joe Biden wins the election, then
COVID goes away.
COVID would go away. And with this announcement from Pfizer today, I'm really interested if they did know about this, if they held off giving this news until after the election. I think that would be big news for a private company to wait and try not to, you know, influence the election's decision one way or the other. But you see the victory rallies after the Associated Press and a number of other organizations called it for Biden. You wonder if they're not taking COVID as seriously because
super spreaders,
because it's a presidential victory party or something. I don't know.
Just, yeah.
Imagine if they had declared victory for President Trump over the weekend and there'd been big parties like that. The national media would have just been
they're going
crazy. Nuts. Yeah.
The mayor of Washington, D.C. has now, I guess, suggested everybody get tested that was out on the streets of D.C. Yeah. So, anyway, FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice. We've got Dave and Foley. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you?
What is to stop you from declaring yourself with one vote the winner of the governor's race in the state of disbelief?
Just with one vote.
One vote.
Yeah, anyone could. Kanye West could have declared victory if he'd liked last Tuesday night.
Yeah, I thought he won.
So what are you making of all this, Dave?
So that kind of pulls some of the wind out of the sails of others who may have declared victory before the actual vote based on a projection. That may or may not pan out.
Right, and that's what, you know, so many Republicans are saying today and we're saying over the weekend, you know, is it the Associated Press that declares who the next president is, or is it the certification of these results? We've gotten a lot of texts about that this morning, and, there's no certification of the results for days to come.
Yeah.
And with these battles by the Trump campaign, this will be fought in court for days, possibly weeks.
So like you said, it's just possibly a campaign of getting this stuck in people's heads so that whatever the actual results are, if they differ,
it'll feel like
they may or may not.
It'll feel like a reversal,
then,
yeah.
Then it looks like a reversal that really wasn't.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave. That is a really good point. So, things haven't been certified. And is it, you were talking about this too, and I guess we both were, the optics of what Biden and Kamala Harris did, like the post-game show, right? Like, we won on Saturday night is something that, it gives you the impression that if something else happens now, which seems unlikely but is plausible, that would be a reversal when, in fact, it's really just a continuation of getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't, for most Americans, it doesn't seem out of the ordinary that you would have the Associated Press and Fox News and CNN call the race for one candidate, and then that candidate and the running mate, Kamala Harris, on Saturday go out and have this, you know, the announcement that they won and claim victory and have the speech with all the horns honking in the background. That's not uncommon in most presidential races we've seen to this point, but usually, you know, the results aren't disputed to the level that they've been disputed in this race. And I'm not saying that the pathway to victory for Trump isn't as murky or as difficult as it's ever been, but you talk to a number of Republicans and they say the pathway is still there. To me, I think it all leads to Pennsylvania. If the Trump campaign is able to fight this in court and find a way for maybe the Supreme Court to go back and rule that these votes that came in to Pennsylvania after Election Day on Tuesday, if they struck that down, which it was a ruling from the state government of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania going into the election that they announced because of COVID-19, all these, you know, different rules for mail-in voting and absentee voting.
Yeah, they kind of tilted it a little bit toward the Democrats.
And it went to the Supreme Court, who at that time had 8 justices with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and with Amy Coney Barrett yet to have been confirmed as a justice. And that was a 4-4 tie, which reverted back to the previous decision. So if that goes back in front of the Supreme Court, and here's the pathway, I guess, for Trump to change everything that was announced over this weekend, if you took Pennsylvania off for Biden, right now that would leave him with 270 electoral votes. And if you flip that and that went to Trump, that would be 234. You would still have to find a way, the Trump campaign, to, you know, reverse the decision of either Nevada or Arizona. Now, at this point, Arizona...
How about Wisconsin? Are they disputing what happened there? Because Wisconsin, they're within...
Within one percentage point.
Yeah, they're within... 0.3%.
So the state's likely to head to a recount. Wisconsin would be one of those. That would have to be paid for by the Trump campaign.
Right.
The state pays for a recount if it's within a quarter of a point.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Biden leads by 0.7%. So the Trump campaign would have to pay for the recount.
True. Okay.
In Wisconsin, you also likely have a recount coming in Georgia, where right now Biden leads by about 10,000 votes, and Georgia has yet to be called for either candidate. But Arizona would have to be flipped, I believe, for Trump to finish this pathway to reversing the decision that was made this weekend. So right now Biden in Arizona leads by 0.5%, right around 15,000 votes. And if you just look at Wisconsin, where Biden leads by 20,000 votes, Georgia, where he leads by 10,000 votes, and Arizona, where he leads by 15,000 votes, even if the Pennsylvania ruling that they count these mail-in ballots is reversed and they gave Pennsylvania to Trump, he would still need to find a way to reverse the decisions through recount,
yeah,
or through the courts with some of the alleged voter fraud in Arizona. He would have to flip Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia, and also pick up North Carolina, which yet to be called either. But the Trump campaign certainly thinks that they see a pathway to victory through these legal decisions.
So part of their strategy is going to be, which I think is brilliant, is going back on the road with these rallies. And I've been saying since this morning at 6 a.m., that first rally has got to be dead in the center of Pennsylvania, where it's Trump country beyond belief in the rural areas of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, you know, away from Philly and away from Pittsburgh.
Now, Neil puts a different perspective out there on the text line. He said the results aren't disputed by anyone. There's nothing that's been brought forward by the Trump campaign that would have any bearing on the result of the election. So where do you stand? 343-0106.
Mike's on the line, and we will get to him after the break. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Very interesting Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great here at FM Talk 106.5 and beginning of a new work week here. Let's talk rebates at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. We got a little extra little money from the Costco people. You know, you got a $6,000 in rebates on a Sierra, and then you got an extra $1,000 if you're a Costco member. Now, you'd have to have been a Costco member, I think it's 3 months ago. So, you know, they got to do the right thing. General Motors, you got to figure out what they're doing with rebates. They're all over the map. But, I mean, we got the great deals going on. We traded in a 2020 Denali pickup, three-quarter ton diesel. It's got 30,000 miles on it. A lot of people have been looking at those. Can't afford that that 2020 new one, and we've got a 2020 used one. So I need to check those out. Also got a bunch of doggone pickup trucks now. I mean, we are trading in some 19s and 18s, and just in time for hunting season. They're all going to be most of them are going to be four-wheel drive. And we got the lot looking great today.
All right, great place to check out if you're looking for trucks, and also the entire inventory online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
That's right. Y'all can look at everything at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is the man, Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Breaking news this morning from Pfizer talking about their coronavirus vaccine. See the guy on 60 Minutes last night that's the military guy in charge of making sure that the virus vaccine gets out?
I did not see his interview.
Pretty interesting. I mean, he seems like he is... It seems like he is ready to go, and he's got a plan for every possibility. So anyway, the military is in charge of making sure this happens as we speak right now. if we have a transition in the White House, I doubt that that would be interrupted or disrupted in any way, because it looks like it's going to work in terms of getting it out. Now Pfizer saying it is 90%
effective,
which is as good as many of the childhood vaccines that we dispose, without thinking twice. So that's remarkable news to me.
Yeah, it's big news today, and you'll see the stock market's already getting that news, and the futures are looking good here this morning. But I think it'd be fun to, maybe not fun, but play a little game of what if here. And if the results are certified and Joe Biden ends up being the president come 2021, who do you think in the, as we look back in history, who will be credited with doing the most work to end COVID-19? Because the reports are already coming out. You know, the Biden transition team, he's today going to announce a COVID-19 task force. And President Trump just a couple weeks ago in that final debate, he said, listen, there's some big news coming out as far as the vaccine development here in a couple of weeks. And even then, and still, so many news outlets that say, oh, even if there is a vaccine that comes from this Operation Warp Speed, there's no way that they would be able to distribute it to the amount of Americans that would be necessary for it to make a dent in the spreading of this virus in time. And the president he kept saying, no, we've got the military in on this, and they're in charge of distributing the vaccine, and they're going to be able to get the vaccine out to as many people in as short a time as possible.
Well, let's see what Biden says now with this news that Pfizer has, because now this changes everything. Now you go from speculating, from the possibility of this and maybe this, and when this is ready, then we can maybe do this. No, now Pfizer said, we're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So this would appear to be, to me, the beginning of the end of COVID. I'm worked up about this. This would be unbelievable. And you've got to give the credit, obviously, to President Trump on this.
Yeah,
that was his push that made it happen.
And both have commented on the news from Pfizer this morning. President Trump tweeted, stock market up big, vaccine coming soon, report 90% effective, such great news. And Joe Biden today, he congratulated, quote, the brilliant women and men who helped produce this breakthrough and to give us such a cause for hope. But he added, America is still losing over 1,000 people a day, and that number is rising and will continue to get worse unless we make progress on masking and other immediate actions. Biden said that's the reality for now and for the next few months. Today's announcement promises the chance to change that next year, but the tasks before us now remain the same. Now, my question with, you know, if Biden does have this vaccine team out there, what is he going to do differently than President Trump and his team have been doing these last few months? The only thing that I could see that would be a change other than the Congress and Senate coming together on a new, you know, package, stimulus package, to send money out to Americans and help with these business loans.
Yeah, where's that?
The only major change that I predict, and this is a straight prediction and my theory, is that there will be a national mask mandate. That's the quickest way for Biden to act like he's doing something to fight COVID-19 would be to put a national mask mandate in order. He hasn't exactly, you know, outright called for that, and certainly didn't say he would during any of these debates.
Yeah, but what can you do?
That's what
you know, president to the head of the school board. I mean, really, we're all pretty powerless with this thing. The vaccine is the answer. But I agree with you to give the appearance that, hey, I've got an idea here, right? Everybody wear a mask, and that's not going to go over very well, as we know, with especially Trump supporters are going to say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and you know, it's been said before, and it'll be said again, it's sad that the virus became politicized the way that it was, and will there be less attention paid to COVID-19 if Joe Biden is certified as the next president-elect? Will these media organizations stop covering it as closely as they have these last 6, 7, 8 months?
I don't think they can put the brakes on the coverage of what they're talking about, this big spike here. Okay, so if the spike is big, if the problem is back and as bad as it's been, you've got to cover that. And you've got to cover that regardless of who's won the election, right? So let's keep an eye on them and see how they proceed, because in my book, you got to keep on covering it as you have, but we've talked about this forever. Biden gets elected and the vaccine kind of goes away. It's remarkable news from Pfizer this morning.
Yeah, let's look at the text line here. Jerry in Fort Morgan says Biden doesn't have any authority to mandate a mask order. David says the media will definitely stop covering the coronavirus pandemic, at least to the point where they're scaring the
blank out of everybody,
because then it looks bad on their golden boy, the thief in chief, from David there. Dan says, hey, Biden did several times say that he would establish a national mask mandate. Let's see. Unnamed texter, who is paying for Biden's team? Who says he has any authority? And you're right, even if Biden is certified as the winner here in the coming weeks, he wouldn't take office until January, with Trump in office until then. Let's see here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, from an unnamed texter here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. However, the timing of the Pfizer announcement and the 60 Minutes article last night falls in line with what many have been saying. Neil, Trump probably deserves credit for some of the things as far as the vaccine, but he also deserves credit for the over 130,000 deaths. That's a text from Neil there. Leo says it was a scamdemic for a reason, pure politics. And texts continue to roll in here. Yeah. So, you know, what a week in nationalism. What a month it's been. And I'm just wondering, how long is it going to take to work out all of these court battles that are now on the horizon? You look at Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada,
and the rest of the country,
Wisconsin.
They were dealing with all this, which seems like way too much to deal with, right? But they were dealing with all of this while not trying to dodge two hurricanes,
yeah,
which came into our area in the past 2 months.
Been a heck of a year.
Tough on us, huh? 845 FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice at 343-0106. And also, that is the same number for the text line. Morning, y'all. It is Mobile Mornings. Old dude Dan Brennan along with young buck Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. Now you have a clear understanding of the lineup here.
Yeah, I put the Millie in Millennial. Not really. I've never seen $1 million.
Sean Sullivan, by the way, being blamed for all of this if he on the text line. If he hadn't gone off looking for mule deer, none of this would have happened. One of the texters says that. So Impeach Sullivan is underway. It's 8:51 at FM Talk 106.5. You guys are on fire on the text line.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we got here. G-Man, real quick, let me tell you what he's got. He says, look up... well, I'm not going to go there, actually. And we'll just leave it at that. Okay. Dan and Dalton, and we've got a couple things going on around here, including a contest you can check out on our webpage.
And Facebook. That's right.
It's all there.
So if you've been a fan or friend of FM Talk 106.5 for a number of, for any amount of time, you've seen the number of contests that we've had over the last 5 years or so. And us being a locally owned station, and, you know, we are Mobile and Baldwin County right here, that the winners of our contest are always local. We haven't had a contest yet that's been won by someone outside of the area code, really. I don't think we've even had a 334 winner. It's always been 251s, unlike so many of these other contests with other radio stations where it's like a nationwide pool.
Yeah, you play the guy from Florida or California saying, hey, I'm so glad I won.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he lives in Sacramento. What's
yeah.
the deal?
And you could win a cruise that departs from, I don't know, Oregon or
yeah,
something like
Seattle,
that.
Seattle, right.
Now, we are as local as it gets, and it's time for another huge contest here at FM Talk 106.5. It's our annual Christmas contest giveaway, and this time a grand prize going to one person, and this grand prize valued at over $6,600. Now, we have seven businesses that are partners on this giveaway, and you can enter just like every single contest by visiting each individual business and entering your name in the contest giveaway box. You just have to fill out your name and phone number, and we do nothing with the information. As soon as we draw a winner, we use the phone number to contact you to let you know you've won, and then we dispose of all of those cards.
We're not doing this like Pennsylvania. This is straight up, y'all.
Not collecting data. Just need your phone number so we can call you if you've won. But here's the prize package, okay? It's one huge package going to one winner, a Tyler gift basket from Beckham's Florist and Gifts, a queen-sized Tempur-Pedic mattress from Good Morning Mattress in Mobile, a from G&D Farm Feed and Outdoors, a great package here, a Boss Buck deer feeder, with some Leopold scopes, some Leopold binoculars coming in that package. Also from Carrot Patch Jewelers, a diamond by the yard necklace. From Robertsdale Power Equipment, a Husqvarna Weed Eater and Edger combo. A Generac generator from Spring Hill Ace Hardware. And then from Weatherford's Fountain and Lawn, a magnificent fountain. And they'll also come and install that for you. And one person is going to win all of those prizes. It's valued at over $6,600. You can enter by going to each store, dropping your name in once. You can only do it once over the course of the promotion, not every single day. But you can also gain an extra entry by going to their Facebook pages, which are linked on our website and on our Facebook page, and commenting on the status for each individual business for this contest. You could have a total of two entries with each business, and then at the end of this promotion, December 18th, each business will draw one winner, and then from those seven winners, one person will win the ultimate grand prize. All the other winners from the businesses will get $50 qualifying prizes, but we'll announce the winner just in time for Christmas, and you can check out the full details on this contest at fmtalk1065.com. At the top of the page, click the Christmas contest giveaway, and that'll link you through to the Naughty or Nice rules for our contest, and the same thing on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fmtalk1065.
How about if somebody who is a fan listens online, does not live in town,
mm-hmm.
but goes to the Facebook route,
yep.
gives himself a chance to win, and does win, and his name is Joe Biden. FM Talk 1065. Kate is on the line right now. Hello, Kate.
Hey, good morning. Just got a question for you. I want to know why the Alabama Attorney General is not suing all these other states for not doing their job properly or changing up the rules or whatever. I mean, you know, we went through a lot of history and a lot of problems here with our state, and we finally got, I believe, our process correct. We don't have the voter fraud and all these other things that other states apparently are having to deal with. So why can't we as a state sue these other states to get their act together? I mean, this is a big learning curve, apparently. We've been doing this 200 some years now. So,
you're saying so our vote counts. Your act straight.
I believe Alabama hasn't had all the problems as the other states have.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yeah.
So why can't state attorney general sue the other states to get their voting process mm-hmm. correct? Because if they're having these issues, they've been having these issues. You understand what I'm saying? Yep. This isn't the first time they've had these issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I wonder if there won't be some kind of unified front from all the Republican...
Thank you, Kate.
From all the Republican attorneys general. I haven't seen Steve Marshall specifically comment yet on Tuesday's election, but we've seen before where attorneys general will all kind of come together and put out a unified message. We're certainly seeing a unified message from some of the heads of the Republican Party,
yep.
whether it's Mitch McConnell or House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, or you look at some of the bigger names, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham. All of them are saying that the Trump campaign is doing the right thing by not conceding, not saying that they'd been defeated yet by Joe Biden and that he should continue to fight this in court. And even though the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, I don't think has commented on this yet.
I don't think he has.
I imagine we'll start to see more of a this week as we get further along and see some more of these lawsuits filed. I think we might see more of a unified front from a lot of the Republicans. Now, you're also seeing some of the more centrist Republicans that have worked their way onto Donald Trump's bad side. Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, basically saying that the president should admit defeat and move on. And move on with this election and declare Joe Biden the winner. But most of the Republicans right now, a little too early for them to say that Joe Biden is the president-elect.
Biden's first move as president, mask mandate for all. Here's how he plans on doing it. This comes from Fox News. So that is from Jason. Jason says, Dalton, you called it. So there you go. Let's see here. We've got Keith who says... okay. Oh, well, Keith, he's commenting on the contest. He wants to win the contest that clearly Joe Biden is favored in, but you need to get online and give yourself a chance to win that contest. But we'll give you more details about that. You can find out more at fmtalk1065.com.
Great Jeff Poor show lineup coming up. He's going to talk with former Governor Don Siegelman in the 9 o'clock hour. Also, WVNN's Dale Jackson at 10:30. Rob Holbert from Lanyap at 11. And then, Congressman Mike Rogers at 11:30. So big show on tap for Jeff Poor. And I know polling, not exactly the favorite of many Americans right now, and they got it so wrong again here in the 2020 election. But I have to read this to you. This poll really quickly, because I think this shows why we should not dispose of the Electoral College, why each state's vote should count. And that's because, according to a new survey of Americans between 11 and 24 years old, 54% say they've never seen a cow in real life. Over half of the respondents between 11 and 24 said they've never seen a cow in real life. There's almost 100 million cows in America. Also in this poll,
how did they miss them?
They live in L.A. or New York or Chicago. Never seen a cow in their life. Also, 43% have never gone camping or even hiking. 19% have never cooked a meal from scratch. That's what we're dealing with when someone says we need to dispose of the Electoral College and go to
popular
vote. Let me remind you that apparently half of young Americans have never seen a cow in real life. How can we trust them to vote for president?
They're going to be shocked when they see one, because they have no idea, you know.
Is that a horse?
What?
No, it's a cow.
FM Talk 106.5, and Jeff Poor is next.